No, we are.
We are still in the
far away conversation. We're open to input.
Right.
I hope you're also open to output. I'd like to see you. I mean, you Nick, know better than anybody else what's going on with homeless people in Santa Cruz. Get your candidate to say something strong, specific, and statewide about it. I guess he might say district wide since he's running for Congress. That way is the way to to get activists.
No, you're right. Otherwise, he's another
fucking Democrat who comes in looking good and then ends up being a piece of shit.
We have to put forth something that is clear and determined for the bottom end of society.
Well, the thing that impresses me about Joe, although again it's related to his campaign, and I always get wary when people are doing things for their campaign.
Yeah.
Is he seems to be acting a year in advance, getting into the King City strike, going to rallies against police violence.
Yeah.
But again, look what happened last year. We had Sugar and Crone. They showed up at the town clock. Our own city councilman with Steve Argue.
Yeah.
A year later, they won't even attend his sentencing hearing. They haven't contacted him. He's the kiss of death. They won't stand up against police misconduct now that they're in office. That is always the danger. The system of institutionalized political bullshit and money is so strong that when somebody like Grossman gets in, suddenly you don't hear from him again. And I'm not saying that's necessarily true with Joe.
No, I know
that's the presumption.
He's not that type of a personality. He has a very passionate commitment when he makes when he gets involved. He really does.
Okay, well let's hope so. And again, I appreciate you letting me know about the update on the King City strike against basic vegetables. Is there any number of people? I guess I can call Joe's number to get more information, or possibly your number, should I give out your number?
Just give Joe a call at 429-6470.
429-6470 for Joe Grossman.
Yeah.
If you want to go down to this rally to stop the police shootings in Salinas, I'm not sure how many people have been shot.
Or to King City. We'll be going down there again.
Okay, or to King City.
And
thank you, Nick Whitehead. Do you want to make a complaint about local police misconduct? You don't want to wait 6 months and hope you can get past Barbara Williams, the Police Officers Association representative, and her pal, Arnie Leff, then give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at
475-2012.
475-2010. I'm 2012. 2012.
Let's see what we can do.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Raises the question, who owns it?
Riots!
The homeless are a problem.
For only one reason,
our president.
Raises the question, who owns it?
Riots!
Who
owns the
land?
Who owns the land?
How do the land?
Could it be 99
dead in New York?
Who owns the land?
Million Jews who owns the land?
If there was an action,
who owns the land?
Who owns the land? Who owns the land?
Through all
materialism, who owns the land? If someone please tell me,
who owns the land?
If I am just a
white man,
I live in the America. How did I get this morning?
I was awoken
by a man with a handgun.
He's got a
book of rules that says I ain't got the right to speak. This morning I was awoken
by a man with a handgun.
He's got a
book of rules
that says I ain't got the right to be who
owns
the man. Could it be that there's a
China spot?
Who owns the land?
Through my table,
inhibition.
Who owns the land?
And the extermination.
Who owns the land?
Of the Native American.
Who owns the land?
Won't someone please tell me?
Who owns the land?
Start of just a white man.
And that was,
15.
Thank you. Uncle Bob here is helping update my incredibly primitive facility with, or lack of facility, with CDs. That's called 15, and that's the song Land. 15 is the group. We're going to be probably checking out a few more of these songs. It's a little bit too radical for us older folks, but, you know, we want to...
They're a well-known Food Not Bombs supporting band.
Oh, well, if they support Food Not Bombs, then, you know, I guess they're all right.
They're actually on a label called Sub City, which donates part of their money to groups like the Redwood Summer Justice Fund, which is fighting Judy Berry's case.
Interesting. I know that perhaps they should... We're talking about Food Not Bombs, but here in this Thanksgiving days downtown with the big meals, get two meals a year if you're homeless. What's the complaint in Santa Cruz, Christmas and Thanksgiving? It's Food Not Bums. And we're talking now about Robert Steffen. Robert Steffen...
You got my vote.
Steffen is the man running for president by his own account. You see him... You have seen him sitting on a bench near Bunny Shoes on Pacific Avenue, bit down from the Coffee Roasting Company, between the Coffee Roasting Company and the Cinema 9 Theater, for all of you folks who want to check this out for yourself. However, of late, he has moved from his bench. Now, you may remember there was some discussion on the air. We've interviewed him a couple of times about, police officers standing for half an hour at a time, eyeballing him from a distance of 10 feet away, threats from people like Officer Brandt, now apparently without...
Officer Brandt.
Officer Brandt, without his dog at the moment.
Dog's dead, actually.
I know. Officer Brandt's dog is dead. I should say his police officer associate has gone to doggy heaven. It's too bad when dogs have to be the target of some scorn by the station, but I'll tell you, when dogs are roped into police behavior that better serves concentration camps in World War II than the Pacific Avenue Mall, then individuals like myself have to speak out. I got nothing against Officer Brandt's dog, but, you know, what is an attack dog doing on Pacific Avenue? I mean, I can't...
He walked it regularly, all the time, on the mall.
Other people's dogs, of course, aren't even allowed on Pacific Avenue without a ticket, but he's not a dog, Officer Brandt explains. He's an officer.
Officer.
Yeah, and that's what we were told as we went through the police station. Apparently, they brought back this... The canine force was retired, I guess, in the 40s and brought back in the early 80s or the late 70s or something like that. And the older force really looked pretty sinister. They had these, German Shepherds, that have a kind of a friendlier look about them, but they had these Doberman Pinschers,
Doberman.
They were, you don't want to mess with them Doberman Pinschers, you know. Looked like they came right out of, Himmler land. And so it's kind of hard for me to see why they're there. And they're still around. The canine scene.
One canine dog in Santa Cruz, it's Officer Hillier's dog. Who never takes it on the mall. He leaves it in a car because they're dangerous. They're made to kill, just like cops are. Trained to kill. Honed to kill.
Trained to kill. And that's the problem, of course. I mean, not that, people should not be defending themselves, not that there shouldn't be some kind of public force to deal with the criminal behavior by people, violent criminal behavior. But
you're getting off the subject here, Robert.
Thank you very much. I need that. This Bob also serves as kind of a psychiatrist and general program orientation officer. Robert Steffen is a man who you may see. He kind of wears a safari hat, has a sort of a foggy pair of glasses, sits on a bench with a, not a shopping cart, but it's kind of a television cart. It's a little cart actually provided by the merchants who were hoping they could kind of bribe him into leaving the area with his little cart. But no, he decided he was going to stay there. This is a man who was arrested on three separate occasions at the Homeless Services Center for trespass when he slept on their porch because they wouldn't allow him in the ISSP program.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, well, he figured that they're a homeless services center paid by the city and county of Santa Cruz, probably with some federal funding and private money, too. And they're the only alternative to arrests for sleeping under the sleeping ban and or troll busting where you risk your ass getting beaten up like Joe Barker did by Aaron Birch back in the spring of this year. And more than 25 or 35 other assaults have happened during this period of time. And, of course, still no action from city council around that issue. So Robert Steffen spent 3 months in jail on trespassing charges, three separate charges. He'd get out of jail, he'd go back, sleep on the porch again, they'd arrest him again. He'd get another month in jail. And he would decline to OR out, wouldn't agree to appear in court, but then he'd go to court, the charges would be dropped. Last time the charges weren't dropped, he was convicted after a jury trial of trespass and given a stay-away order. So what he's been doing instead, he's apparently been sleeping in some other illegal place. And
Wait. They gave a stay-away order to a homeless man
from the Homeless Services Center. Yes, you got it.
I just want to clarify
that. You had to pause on that one for a minute, didn't you? This is Santa Cruz, folks. This is the hate-free zone in Santa Cruz, and we're talking. But it's apparently not a stupidity-free zone. Free hate. I also want to announce, by the way, we got a call from one of our other talk show hosts, Merlin, who once let us know that David Silva, who we've called dead-on David Silva, he's a man who's been behind fighting the sleeping ban with a repeal initiative. Two of them, in fact. Endlessly dickering behind the scenes with Scott Kennedy and other notables to try to get some kind of relief, talking for hours to the task force on the consider the camping ordinance, only to get sleeping ban buyers saying no thanks. Anyway, Silva's going to be on Merlin's show December 14th, Tuesday at
I think around 4.
Around 4 o'clock in the afternoon here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, which, by the way, is the station you're listening to, 96.3 FM on your radio dial. We are unfunded, unfounded, and
dumbfounded.
And dumbfounded. Well put, yes.
It was called 427-3772.
And that's my co-host, Uncle Robert Duran, or Uncle Bob, Skidmark Bob, as some of you know, who've seen him wandering the streets, shadowing police officers. Apparently, the police officers weren't just shadowing, they were overshadowing Robert Steffen. And Steffen was, I guess he sat for about a month on his bench. I mean, he would leave at night, go to goodness knows where to sleep at night, obviously not the Homeless Services Center, and I guess it was outdoors somewhere. When last week he was handed a restraining order filed November 23rd, which by a woman named Margaret Payne, who apparently is the owner of Bunny's Shoes.
That's right, my favorite place to shop.
Hey, I think we should all go down to Bunny's Shoes and tell Margaret Payne just what we think of this particular order. I'm not suggesting she be harassed, by the way, simply that the public be advised that if they spend their money in Margaret's store at Bunny's Shoes, they may be paying in some small measure for similar restraining orders of other people who dare to use the public property in front of her store. Anyway, what this restraining order says...
When did he get handed this restraining order?
He was handed the restraining order, I believe, either the same day or the next day, November 24th or November 23rd.
Oh, right before the biggest shopping day of the year.
Yeah, just coincidentally, he was removed before the biggest shopping day of the year. This is a restraining order which bars Robert Steffen from being 25 yards away from Margaret Payne, or from her place of work.
Yards, I thought.
Well, originally it was 100, and it was struck out in 25, was written in its place. Apparently Judge Stevens, who granted this order without a hearing, by the way, at least without an adversarial hearing. Robert didn't hear about this, he was just served it. So this is what's called an ex parte order.
And this is a gentleman, he's not sitting in the store. He's not blocking the door.
No, he's on the public bench.
On the public bench.
Which isn't even directly in front of the store. It's down a bit from the store, but it is near the store. And and we're going to hear what Margaret's concerns were, because she wrote an extensive narrative about this for the judge. And you're going to get a chance to understand the merchant psychology here, to understand the merchant perspective. And for all of Margaret Payne's pals out there who want to give us some real understanding, you're hearing a couple of radicals ranting on the radio, what is all this? I mean, these homeless people, why don't they just go somewhere else? I mean, come on, give us a break. You know,
go away.
Get out of here, you know. Call in. Let's hear some opposition. Let's hear some understanding. Let's hear some explanation of how...
Expletives.
Yeah, well, even expletives are okay. Anyway, here is the story. Robert Steffen, the defendant, is homeless. He lives under the San Lorenzo Bridge. He is a homeless person that sits in front of my store on Pacific Mall. Now, of course, that's not true. He sits on a public bench, which is about 15 feet away from the entrance to her store.
Mm-hmm.
So his behavior is completely legal. It doesn't violate any laws.
I've passed by him numerous times. I've never heard any problem. I saw a sign that says there is no God, which is his perfect freedom.
And he has a platform which is a kind of itemized 1 through 15. And by the way, Robert is looking for someone to help turn out a piece of campaign literature for his presidency. And there's somebody say, oh God, another wingnut running for president. What is this crazy shit? Well, read his platform.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably find his platform better than any of the other candidates running for president, at least who are getting any kind of federal money. Certainly better than the Democratic and Republican candidates. I don't know about the Green and the Peace and Freedom Party candidates. But here's a man who has the courage to stay out in public 8 hours a day, talk to anybody about his platform who wants to come up to him, and whose very presence there is a dramatization, is a living proof of what is really happening in Santa Cruz around affordable housing, homelessness, and as we can see from this latest restraining order, the power of the police and the merchants to do whatever the fuck they want.
In a public area.
In a public area, exactly. Let's hear, I'm going to read a little bit from this, a copy of the restraining order that I got from Robert yesterday. This is again from Margaret Payne, again uncontested, because Robert didn't know it was happening, he wasn't informed. This is initially with restraining orders, people go in and they kind of talk to the judge off to the side. They say, judge, give me an order. And the judge does, and they set a hearing date. And he has a hearing, I believe, on December, I believe it's on December 9th. I'm going to find the exact date, though, so you'll be able to make it and make a note in your calendar. It's December 8th. It's 8:30 a.m. in Department 7. That's Judge Stonehart Stevens. And we have an incoming phone call here. Hello?
If the person who is being restrained wasn't informed about it before that hearing. Thanks, I'll go.
Sure.
Well, the answer to that is that the hearing, he was informed about it before the December 8th hearing, but apparently it was such a dangerous menace.
Dangerous.
Such a threat to the public safety and to the safety of Margaret Payne of Bunny Shoes and her employees that something had to be done immediately. And that actually is the usual custom for restraining orders. They give you a restraining order. The judge could decide, well, we won't grant it until the hearing, or we will grant it now, and then at the hearing there'll be a formal consideration of whether it should be extended or made. I think it's either into a temporary restraining order or into a permanent, not a permanent injunction, a preliminary injunction. And that's my kind of uneducated answer caller to that question. That was the caller. And please call in again. I'm going to try to, even though we are going to get a hum on the phone, I do encourage you to call in, because I think it's good stuff to have that kind of stuff, have your voice directly on the air rather than me trying to paraphrase what you've said.
Well, this guy has never walked into Bunny Shoes, ever, far as I understand.
No, I don't. That isn't clean. I'm sure it would be in this. And he's never, as far as I know, walked into Bunny Shoes, as far as what he's told me. Mm. He's outside. He's aware that he's, you know, he's got rights in public spaces, and he doesn't want to go into Bunny Shoes particularly. He's a very, I mean,
well,
he
I
is.
I don't either.
Yeah, right. And probably a lesson to us all.
I'd rather go to a thrift store to find my shoes.
I mean, Robert is I've got to say, you know, he is not your average run-of-the-mill type person in many ways. I mean, who in the hell else is going to sit out 8 hours a day outside and run for president? I mean, that's pretty hefty. He also is touchy about being touched, for instance. If you go by and see him, don't offer to shake his hand, but he's very friendly and affable if you talk to him, but he prefers not to be touched. And that's okay with me. I prefer that to all the glad-handing and baby-kissing characters around. He's willing to speak up for his principles. Let's hear some more about this restraining order. According to Margaret Payne, there have been several incidents in the last 2 days where people that are concerned for the welfare of the store employees are making physical threats to the defendant, that is to Robert Steffen. I fear there will be a violent incident because so much tension is mounting. My employees are upset and afraid, and so am I. I also fear they may quit their jobs to get away from him.
That'd be good.
So let's look at this. Let's suppose in Birmingham, a black man were sitting on a bench in front of a white store, and white racists were coming up and threatening this black man and saying, as apparently they have been threatening Robert and knocking over his cart, and they were the boyfriends or the girlfriends or the friends of the employees of Bunny Shoes or the equivalent Southern store. What would the proper solution be? Would it be to, should we say, suggest to the individuals to prosecute people who are threatening him, to warn them that they are violating the law, to tell them not to mess with this guy because you cause a bad name for our business, to respect the First Amendment of the Constitution? I mean, that's kind of out of passé, right? No, but rather what we do instead is we blame the guy on the bench who they are threatening. I mean, obviously, it's his fault. I mean, that makes sense.
He's never come in the store, never caused any problems.
Yeah, but he's not as sightly as the other customers. True. He doesn't really.
What's that sign? There is no God. And maybe there's something there.
Yeah, and also if he were a black man outside a white store, why doesn't he know any better? I mean, there is a homeless services center, and even if he can't sit on the porch or sleep there, he could maybe stay on the sidewalk or, you know, sort of
just
hover nearby.
Somewhere else.
Not in my backyard, pretty much.
We need our consumers to shop at Bunny's.
I'm going
to
read a little bit more of this. I own and work at Bunny Shoes on the Santa Cruz Mall. Every day for the last 6 weeks, the defendant sits on a bench right in front of the store and stares at the employees as they go in and out of the store. And as they work inside, he watches them through the large glass window. Now, there's a few notes that Robert has made, and he says, no, he doesn't do that. And I have never seen him do that. When I walk by, I see him, the bench does not face the window. It faces down the street toward the Cinema 9 Theater, and so I've never noticed him looking over at them. They're probably looking at him, actually.
I've noticed him, like, when I pass by him, he'll look at me and he'll make eye contact with anybody that walks by, and I'll nod and say hi, like I would anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for some people it's just because
it's
of the way
he looks.
It's a
crisis. You know, it's very provocative.
It's threatening for them.
I mean, you know, as they say in England, if you look at your betters, that can be the basis for, you know, some kind of discipline. I mean, you're supposed to drop your eyes, you know, kind of tip your hat, touch your forelock. You know, that's really the appropriate.
Right.
When you're dealing with lords and ladies, you know, you want to show
a forelock anyway.
It's something about England in the, you know, the medieval days. I think you're supposed to. Oh, here's an incoming call. Perhaps we have some description of what a forelock actually is.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
This is Stephanie. They're saying England. Remember why they're saying England? Because people need a certain freedom.
Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and I'm sure you could name a bunch of other organizations.
deaf and has been, you know, a homeless person has been made the target of an absurd restraining order, moving him down the street during the holiday season. I assume that maybe you had an emergency meeting with your executive committee, Ken Cole, and that fine staff person, Don Lane, appointed and paid by the city council.
Well, it's not that, but it's really hard to get people who work at the same job thing, like Ken Hutchinson. He's a heavy commuter, to come to the rep on the long holiday weekend. But I think I'm more of a person than a bureaucrat, and if I wanted to get something done, I certainly wouldn't channel it primarily through the bureaucracy, although I might think they should be informed.
Well, I'm not really talking about you personally, I'm talking about the Homeless Issues Task Force. I mean, the question to me is, you know, we saw some good things coming out of the Homeless Issues Task Force in terms of urging the repeal of the camping ban, the entire camping ban, not just the sleeping ban sections. We saw you asking for a living wage. We saw you asking that homeless people, rather than non-homeless people, be employed in positions around the Homeless Issues Task Force. Sir, as a priority. We saw you asking for rent stabilization, supporting real rent control or even rent reduction. I know that was talked about in the subcommittee and seemed to be some of the focus. We saw you seeking to give the courts and the homeless information that the fines have dropped, that there are legal defenses such as the necessity defense available for the sleeping ban under the ICORN decision, and apparently that was blocked by Catherine Byers and City Attorney John Barasoni, and sort of rerouted by Don Lane, never really gotten forward. We saw you try to put items, if not on the agenda, to make them into public information items so that people reading the agendas would know that the Homeless Issues Task Force was doing things. And so far, I've been looking at, I have not seen those on any single agenda, other than I guess you were finally given a bone, a brief 5-minute presentation.
I haven't been a bone, that was a dream or something. A bad metaphor.
Right, well, in any case, I regard it as a bone. 5 minutes is not much of a, considering the hours and hours of work you guys have done, to give you 5 minutes and not allow any council members to comment on it or any members of the public to speak about it, as Mayor Byers then did.
You interrupted before the end of the 5 minutes by the mayor to be reminded we have to be done within 5 minutes.
Just trying to be helpful, I'm sure she was.
I can see the metaphor of task force members of thought. I just don't see it as a whole phone.
What I'm saying is that here's the Homeless Issues Task Force that seems to have a lot of good people on it. Sherry Connable, yourself, Ken Cole, certainly 5 steps up from Karen Gillette as a Homeless Services Center Director, a person who is giving out letters to homeless people for the courts if they get sleeping ban tickets saying, our shelter was full, let this person go.
Yeah,
I mean,
he actually makes policy without having to be a bully.
You have good people on your task force, but the problem is, I mean, even with the death of somebody like Ray Skitt, and then the death of days later of another homeless man, Ralph Fritz, the Homeless Issues Task Force said nothing about this. The executive committee had nothing to say when this would have been the perfect opportunity for you folks to stand up and say, safe places to sleep are needed right now. These individuals were, at least one of them, was a victim of anti-homeless violence a week before. Police report he made himself in June when he came into the Homeless Services Center with blood dripping off his hands, having been attacked by troll busters in Harvey West Park. I'm talking about Ray Stitt. Instead, we hear nothing but silence from the Homeless Issues Task Force. I mean, is this a joke? What's going on here, Linda?
It seems like silence would be the course of wisdom here in response to questions. But I can tell you my opinions anyway. You are trying to project some sort of soul or culpability onto a bureaucratic body. This is an extension, a bunch of volunteers who are an extension of a city council space. And the more effective we are, the more invisible we're going to appear to people outside of us. You know, and I don't consider you that. You've been a diligent.
Now wait a minute. Explain that. I mean, how can effectiveness be equivalent to visibility? Give me more detail on that.
What I'm saying is the kinds of things that you are giving kudos for, which actually can affect change, educate people in this fucking wilderness where they don't know anything of what's really going on. You know, like they don't even know people are hungry in our county. You know, or certainly this, but actually making these people with information they need and probably are hungry for. Things like that actually changing the way the court system works so that once the city saw that we were affecting that kind of acceptance, making things happen, they put us in our place, which is to be an adjunct to the council and sort of a neutralizing presence.
Wait a minute, Linda, hold it. How can they put you in your place? What does that mean? You mean they walked home and they put a muzzle around your mouth? They threatened your children? What did they do to put you in your place?
Listen, they are a bureaucracy and an institution. This day we speak of as the city council. In fact, so is their homeless issues task force. They are not going to let the little puppies out before the dog goes out.
Excuse me, how did they put you in your place and stop you from holding a press conference?
Well,
how did they stop you from, let's say, setting up a newsletter?
Are doing these things.
I'm sorry?
They
forbade
doing these.
They
forbade.
They
realized that saying, oh, the city manager's office is a black hole, was not going to stop us.
So you received?
They came more directly, and the mayor talked to me several times besides her address to the task force, and besides the cold shoulder we're getting in the bureaucratic process.
So wait a minute, do I understand that the mayor has personally threatened you, and in what way?
Not threatened me, I feel threatened. She's a little lady, you know. But she told us that we weren't to do this and that, and that we needed to not get ahead of the council. That's their idea of what they invented the task force.
I would think that the whole...
And I think the physical...
Wait a minute.
No, you let me finish the one. The philosophical thing going on here is that the task force is going to have their energy wasted trying to back the council down into being a little democratic.
I don't want to waste my energy here. And what I want to know
is... You're not wasting it.
What I want to know... No. Wait a minute. No, you've had your say. I want to respond to this.
I haven't had my say. Listen, it's one sentence. We need to do things with real people immediately with these... You said Steven signed that stupid thing? That restraining order? That is a total co-optation of what the cities and states stronger...
Well, I agree with you, Linda. That's four sentences. I agree with you that definitely you should do something. And I'm glad you're calling in. You personally are doing something. But the Homeless Issues Task Force isn't doing shit, as far as I can see.
All I'm saying is you have to differentiate in your own mind between human beings who have some soul and responsibility and a bureaucratic institution. You can't expect it to do shit by itself. It's just an entity. It's an invented falsehood, as it were.
No, I think this entity... This entity is made up of real people like yourself who have certain positions of power who make real choices. So don't tell me that it's just the bureaucratic entity versus the people. You are a woman who could hold a press conference tomorrow if you wanted. Ken Cole is a human being who could hold a press conference yesterday if he wanted. Don't tell me that you're a bureaucratic institution. I'm sorry.
And either of us could do that without the city's involvement.
Or you could say that you've decided to do it anyway and take whatever consequences come from that. And I see you guys have chosen not to do anything about that, either as individuals or as bureaucrats, except so far as you're calling into this station and talking about it.
So you only see what's in your own lap.
Well, tell me what I don't see.
No, I kind of agree with you, frankly.
Right. So what I'm saying is you have this institution, the Homeless Issues Task Force, which really is quite sympathetic to taking some real action, and yet in a position of power, you and Ken and others are choosing not to exercise it because what?
I don't agree with that part of what you have to say. Your take on the whole task force, I kind of agree with. That's not one of some of my feelings, that's part of it. But to say that a couple of us are using unequal power against the whole group, that's not fair and it's not real.
The Homeless Issues Task Force could have gotten on stage at the Veterans Hall 2 days ago at Thanksgiving and announced it was
not
very...
Me,
he could have announced that it was very concerned about the deaths of homeless people. It could have announced that it's been urging the city council to press forward with safe places to sleep, but that you're being blocked. He could have urged homeless people to protect each other and sleep in safe places. He could have encouraged people to come to the next meetings. But none of your task force members, including the irrepressible Sherry Connable, who was wandering all over that meeting, had anything to say about that in any public way.
I understood that there would be people...
So I'm sorry.
You're cutting me off again. You get in the habit of that. I don't like it.
Go ahead.
I understand that some people who are homeless task force issues members were to be there talking to a lot of people one-on-one. It's part
I'm not talking one-on-one. I'm talking into putting yourselves in a position where the media see you, where the community sees you, where the homeless people see you in a real way. This is
okay.
The second.
On your point,
that's my concern.
But be careful how you announce it, because you concluded by saying none of us were even there.
I didn't say you weren't there. I said Sherry Connable was there, definitely there. Then I guess Marilyn Weaver was also there. But none of you stood up and spoke in any publicly clear way on the issues that need to be spoken on if the city council is to be pressured into doing anything whatsoever. Your silence encourages them to do nothing.
Okay.
I'm afraid that's going
to
be the case for the next few weeks.
Did Huff make a public announcement?
Huff was not able to make a public announcement. Huff had trouble getting into the room. Huff was told by people to stay outside. Huff ignored them and gave out flyers, but, you know, to go on to the...
Who told them to stay outside?
Several of the employees.
Employees of what entity?
The organization that was throwing it at the Veterans Hall.
You don't know what organization told them you couldn't go in?
One of the characters with the name tags. I don't know what the name of the organization is. Whoever gave out those names.
We'll have to find out later if we don't know now.
But the fact of the matter is that for Huff to go on stage, it's different than the Homeless Issues Task Force. If you, as a Homeless Issues Task Force member, asked to be allowed to speak at the mic between singers, there would have been no question you would have been given an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Huff would not have been given an opportunity to do that, I don't think. Huff was barely allowed
in. That if somebody who says, I'm with the city in some way, be able to bug out their way onto the stage, I'll give you that much.
Sure.
But otherwise, it's not relevant what entity stands behind him, as you so succinctly point out, because you didn't even know who's given the dinner. It doesn't matter what the organizational name is. It matters what the content is and what kind of integrity.
No, I think it matters a great deal let me finish. You said a homeless commission, which was appointed by the task force, by the city council members, makes a statement publicly. It's news. If Huff makes a statement, it isn't really news.
Why?
So you have a chance. You have a chance to make news in a way that's much, because we are old hat. We've been around for years. This is a homeless issues task force specifically appointed by the city council. I can understand you might have various reasons for not wanting to do it, because you're afraid you're going to get fired.
Because 13 people. You can't have one person just going off saying, well, today on the task force, 13 people have to agree what's coming down. That makes a bureaucratic institution.
Not necessarily.
Listen, very handicapped when it comes to responding to a real emergency or an immediate need. You gotta get 13 people together or know what their position is.
I disagree.
I disagree.
Well,
you're not on any.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I think you, as chair of this board, could stand up and say, the Homeless Issues Task Force has decided the following five things. And you might get flack from them the next meeting for standing up and saying those things, but they certainly couldn't dispute that they had in fact decided those things. You and Ken Cole and other people in positions of apparent authority on that body are choosing not to do that.
What you said you wanted us up there saying wasn't what we had already attempted to do, but a response to the critical situation now.
And that's
what I was responding to. I'm not in a position, I do not have a legitimate authority to do that for the other 12 people.
I think you could stand up there and mix the two together in an effective way.
I don't know what his excuse was. Maybe he has a wife or something. But you're not getting this main point here that we speak as a body.
I'm
tucked well under the plucked wing of some city council.
Okay. Well, let's not fight further on this issue. I think that, you know, obviously there's a difference of opinion here, and part of it has to do with your
opinion is secondary to what we agree on.
If
we have any kind of power and authority and presence, we need to put it with people who are being systematically trampled on purpose.
Well, the problem
is Stephen's situation.
Right. Well, I would encourage you to get together with Ken Cole tomorrow and take some immediate action on the Robert Stephan situation. You could do it even by calling around to different members of the commission and getting their feeling. I think you'd find that there was a general consensus for this, taking some kind of action. I think you need to take action on breaking events, and I think that if you allow Beyer's structure of this commission to hobble you, you will, you know, again, simply spread the despair when you should be and have the capacity to spread the hope. So, that's just my view. Is there more you want to say, or should I get back to the Robert Stout matter?
I wanted to hear about that.
All right, well, I'm going to read
the discriminatory. What we need are lawyers and
this restraining order about Robert Stephan, and we'll get on with that after a little bit of music.
Yeah. anymore. This is bullshit. I don't want to hear your politics support anymore. This is bullshit.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello there. I've got the Haldol antipsychotic chemical restraint update.
Wow, now actually you're calling because the show was originally going to be about the proposed forcible drugging of people, what's called, I guess, involuntary outpatient